Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thomas Jefferson is a liar. The principal author of the Declaration of Independence asserted, of course, all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a lie. The Creator has not given you the inalienable right to life. Instead, the Creator warned, whoever loves his life loses it. The Creator has not given you the inalienable right to liberty. Instead, the Creator placed you under the headship of parents and under the authority of a government, and invoking his name can't excuse you if you dishonor your father by rebelling against him, declaring your independence from him. And the Creator has not given you the right to pursue happiness. Instead, Jesus said, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. The Creator has not endowed you with any rights. Whatever you have received as a gift from your loving Heavenly Father. And you do not have inalienable rights. You have responsibilities to love and serve your neighbor. Jefferson might promise you happiness, but Jesus promised the disciples weeping, lamentation, and sorrow. In a little while, Jesus told his disciples, you will not see me. Mere hours later, he would be seized by a band of armed guards and taken away as a prisoner to the Jewish chief priests, then to the Roman authorities. In a little while, a very little while, they would see him no more. But then, in a little while, they would see him, nailed to a cross. For a little while, he would hang on the cross, but in a little while, he would be dead. For a little while, his dead body would be in the grave. For a little while, the disciples would not see him. For a little while, theirs would be weeping and lamenting while the world rejoiced. For a little while, they would be sorrowful until the third day. Their sorrow would turn to joy. But even after Jesus' resurrection, in a little while, namely 40 days, he would ascend, and they would see him no more, because he would go to the Father. And again, for a little while, the way of the disciples would be weeping, lamenting, sorrowing, while the world rejoiced. The world would put the apostles to death and persecute the Lord's church, but only for a little while, because in a little while, we will see him again. So, for a little while, yours is a life of weeping, lamenting, being sorrowful. St. Peter calls you sojourners and exiles, against whose souls the passions of your own flesh are waging war. You may indeed suffer for doing good. You may be like the author of Lamentations, saying, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall my soul continually remembers and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. For a little while. Happiness is a fleeting emotion. And never have you been guaranteed the right to pursue happiness. Pursuing it will only lead you to greater despair. If you suppose that God has created you to be happy, you'll be sorely disappointed to hear these words of Jesus in today's gospel reading. But if you suppose instead that your Creator has endowed you with the inalienable opportunity to receive his gift of joy, and the words of Jesus in today's gospel reading will bring you comfort. So also, you have sorrow for now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Repent of equating joy with happiness. They are not the same thing. Joy endures beyond happiness or sadness. Joy lasts through sorrow. Joy allows room for weeping and lamenting. Repent of despair at your lack of happiness, and repent of daring to think that God wants you to be happy more than he wants you to be joyful. Jesus describes the life of the Christian like the time of a woman's labor. For 9 long months, she has wrestled with the pains of pregnancy. She's battled morning sickness and fatigue. She's endured sore muscles and an aching back. And now, as her hour of labor has come, she's in more pain than ever before. More than she can put into words. More than she can explain to her husband. And don't you dare ask her if she's happy. She's not. But even during her pregnancy, and especially after, once the child is born, she's joyful. This is the picture Jesus gives to you of the Christian life. Ever-increasing sorrow and suffering, but the guarantee of eternal joy at the end. The promise of new life enables the woman to endure the pain. The life inside her gives her joy, even in the midst of her suffering. Even in the midst of her pain. When the Israelites complained against God and against Moses, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the Israelites. When they cried out for deliverance, the Lord had Moses make a serpent out of bronze and put it on a pole in the middle of the camp. When anyone was bitten by a snake, he could look to the serpent on the pole and be saved. So may you. Suffering entered the world by the rebellion of Adam and Eve, but even into the midst of the suffering, God took on human flesh and entered his creation in the person of Jesus. His death on the cross, his substitution in your place, is what has saved you from your sins. So in the midst of your afflictions, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of weeping and lamenting, look to the cross and find comfort. There, on the cross, is the death of Jesus Christ, your very source of joy. That's why today is Jubilate Sunday. Shout for joy Sunday. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. The awesome work of God is to take away your guilt and your sin and to take these things onto himself on the cross. This is the blessed exchange. You receive grace and mercy because Jesus received condemnation and punishment. And so he will exchange your sorrow for joy on the day of his return. Though for a little while you may have sorrow, no one will take your joy from you. Those who now rejoice at your sorrow will exchange their rejoicing for eternal lamenting. Your sorrow will be short. The Lord who died is he who was born from the womb of the grave just 3 days later. This labor lasted only a little while. And so will you be born again from the grave, just as he is. And now, for the little while, between now and then, you are not left joyless. Jesus says that in this little while you will not see him. Not that he will be absent. Here, at his altar, the Lord gives you a foretaste of that celestial joy that will be yours. Though you do not see him, his real flesh and his real blood are here for you, as he is both host and feast. The Israelites ate the Passover meal in haste, with their shoes on, their robes tucked into their belts, and their walking sticks in hand. They were ready to leave, ready to depart. So this meal is one that quickens you for the journey. It prepares you to depart. as you feast on the very body and blood of Jesus, who gave his life for yours, as you feed on his forgiveness, you get a taste of the eternal joy that will be yours then, and that is already yours now. And no one, Jesus promises, can take your joy from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.